lean on the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the whole world, our Lord Jesus. And He should be the one that we worship each day of our life, those who know Him. And if you do not know who He is, hopefully you can hear something about Him afterwards and talk to someone about it and about Him, and hopefully you can come to know Him too. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can be here. We certainly do not take it for granted that we can all be here this morning. It is Your grace and Your mercy that enable us to come. You free our time, You give us good health that we can be here. We thank You for that. So Lord, while we're here, may You help us to focus on what You have to say to us. Help us, Lord, to listen to You and to understand what is spoken. Lord, may You really speak to those who have yet to know You as well, so that they may come to know You in a personal way. I pray in Your most precious name. Amen. If you have been here for a while, a few months, you at least you know that I've been going through a series of messages on famous places in the Bible. And we start with the Garden of Eden and talking about Adam and Eve and how God created them and later on how they sinned and left God. And we talk about Ararat, where Noah's ark landed. We talk about the judgment that God was carried out in the whole world at that time. Then we talk about the interrupted journeys of Jonah and also Paul, about Nineveh and Damascus. And in July, I talk about hell. If you notice that most of these places, I could not really go there. The only place that perhaps I can still go is Damascus. Ararat, yes, you can go, but usually it's well guarded. You can't really climb that mountain. It's well guarded by the Turkish authority. And certainly hell, I haven't been there. And I can't go there. Because I have the confidence that I'll be going to the other place. This is what this morning, and which is heaven. Hell is a real place. It's heaven. That's why Jesus spoke many times about hell, and He also spoke to the disciples about hell. There are about 500 times that the word heaven is mentioned. Both hell and heaven will enter through a door called death. Unless the Lord Jesus come back while we're still alive, we'll all have to go through that door called death. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 saying that it is destined for each man, it is appointed for each man to die once, and after that to face judgment. So that door of death is a door that every through must pass through and enter into another realm. How many of us truly think about hell or truly think about heaven? Because the world today, we all want instant gratification. We want something that is immediate, instant. That's why we have so many instant things, right? Instant coffees, instant noodles, and instant this and instant that. We all want something quick and easy and immediately satisfying. So something that is so distant like hell and heaven, because it's so far away, we just don't think about them. Well, at least a lot of people don't think about them. I do think about them, especially when I start having health issues a few years ago. And I start thinking about, if my life was to end, am I going to be? And in fact, that was the same thought that caused me to come to Christ more than 30 years ago. I asked that question as a young man at that time, in university. If I was to die, where will I be? It's a question that bugged me, so much so that I lost a lot of sleep over it until I met believers who can tell me about the Lord Jesus and told me that He died on the cross And then he also rose for me. So if I was to put my trust in him, I do not have to die the second time. And that was the gospel that I heard, and it was the gospel that I believe, and it was the gospel that kept me in the faith all these years. So this morning, I'm going to talk about heaven. We want to answer a few questions about heaven. We're going to talk about what heaven is and what it is like. What did Jesus say about it? And then we perhaps, if you have time, we can look at a video of a young man or a young boy who... That's alright, I think we can speak without it. Unless we have another one. Boy is facing certain death, but he spoke so much about heaven and with so much faith and confidence, and we will watch that. And then after that, we're going to talk about some real issue that each of us must be facing. That is, are we assured of a place there? And how are we going to get there? So what is heaven and what is it like? The Bible mentions, as I say, more than 500 times about heaven. It is a real place. It is a place where God dwells. It is a place that no sin can be found. It's a place that only those who love God will be there. It is a place that you need a citizenship to get there. Many of us came from overseas. Many of us come to this country, and some of us actually spend lots of money to come here, borrow a lot from relatives and friends and loan sharks to come to this country, work, and try to, in the end, hopefully, get a permanent residence or citizenship here. Some of you may have been here for 10 years in order to get that piece of paper to say that you are allowed to stay in this country. So in the same way, to enter heaven, you need a citizenship to be there. And the Bible did tell us something about it. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, for those who believe, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." So here, Paul talks about a citizenship that is in heaven to the believers. So unless you are a believer, unless you love the Lord Jesus and you are his follower, you do not have this citizenship. Because what Paul says is that the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to transform our lowly body. This body that you see now is of the old creation. It cannot inherit heaven. It has to be transformed. It has to be transfigured. It has to be changed. But Paul also said to us in another place of the scriptures that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, God has made all things new. When we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be transformed. And this old body, when we leave this world, will be left behind. And God will give us a new body that will be able to be as glorious as He is and to be able to enjoy His fellowship and be able to worship Him in the place where He dwells. That's called heaven. In Revelation chapter 21, it tells us some description of this heaven. And of course, that is perhaps quite familiar to many people. That's how they think heaven is like. They talk about streets of gold, buildings of jasper, and foundation of precious stones, many types of precious stones. Certainly that was very glorious. There was a story of a rich man. So before he passed away, he asked God for permission to bring something of his what he gathered on earth to go to heaven. Usually God don't allow that. But this rich man has been good, and he asked God for that permission. And God said, okay, this is only a story, it's not in the scripture, okay? And God said, okay, you can bring a suitcase. One suitcase. Do you know what he brought? He brought a whole suitcase of gold bars. You know, it must worth a lot to us and worth a lot to him. He brought the whole suitcase of gold bar and went to heaven. And he was stopped by an angel at the door to heaven. And the angel said, wait a minute, what are you going to bring into this place? He said, oh, I have a permission to bring a box of my most precious things. And the angel said, let me have a look. And he opened up the suitcase. He saw all gold bars. The angel said, you bring pavements to this place? Because all the road is paved with gold. That's what the Bible says in chapter 20, 21 of Revelation. So whatever you think was precious, when you bring it up there, it's not as precious as you think. The most precious thing about heaven is actually not the gold, not the precious stones. The most precious thing about heaven is that there is a place where God dwells. There is a place that where those who belong to Him can worship Him and have fellowship with Him. That is the most precious things about heaven. So heaven is also called a heavenly country in the book of Hebrews, and a heavenly city. It was a city that Abraham was looking forward to, a city with foundations. And that's why Abraham, despite his riches, he lived as a pilgrim on earth. He never think that this world is where he is going to finally settle. He's always looking forward to a place, to a city with foundations, and that is heaven. And what did Jesus call heaven? Jesus called heaven my Father's house. What a lovely term, my Father's house. And we will read about it afterwards. Surely this heaven must be glorious because God is there. God is the one who is full of glory. It must be spacious to be able to contain all the things from the past until now, until future. I'm sure that it's a place of safety, that when we are in it, we have no fear of any attacks, we have no fear of any interruption to your life because of the sin of yourself or sin of others. It's a place totally cleansed by God. It's a place that you can rest. You can rest without any fear and any worries. And that's what heaven is. You looking forward to that? To go there? Let's hear what Jesus said about heaven. In John chapter 14, verse 1 to 6, John 14, verse 1 to 6, I'm sure that is quite familiar to many of you who have read the scriptures. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. But where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is how Jesus told the disciples what heaven is like, and that he has to go first to prepare a place for us. And how is he going to prepare for it for us? We'll find out afterwards. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden first. Remember when we were in the Garden of Eden, when men were first created. God put them there, and God can walk with them in the garden. God can freely fellowship with them because there's no sin separating the created person of Adam and Eve from God. God can talk to them, walk with them, and they can freely enjoy God's fellowship and be able to worship Him. So in the sense that Garden of Eden was the first glimpse that we have of what heaven is like. It is a place of beauty. It's a place of rest. It's a place where all things are provided for you to enjoy. It's a place that you can have fellowship with God without any interruptions. So that was Eden, our first glimpse of heaven. But what happened there? We knew that sin came in because men chose to go their own way, do their own things, and say, we prefer that than God. Instead of relying on God, they decided that they want to follow their own ways. Do you know how evil that sin is? And that sin has been practiced by all of us, everyone in this world. Because all are like sheep, have all gone astray. Each one, we are going to our own ways. So Adam and Eve, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. They could not go back there. They were separated from God. They separated from the one who created them and placed them in their gardens. But God has never stopped there. He has always wanting to restore that fellowship that he had with men. We knew that he called Abraham. He called him out of a place full of idols. Go to a place that he will lead him to. What did he want Abraham to do? He wanted Abraham to have fellowship with him. Out of his own kindred, his nations, his people, God called him out. And Abraham obeyed him. And Abraham is living like a pilgrim, as I mentioned just now, looking forward to a city that God has shown him, a city with foundations. Then we saw that God called Moses and led the people of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness in order to worship him. And God wanted to put a tabernacle among them, a tabernacle that we now should be familiar with because Michelle and the Sunday school children has built a model of it, so that through that tabernacle he can rest his glory among the people of Israel, that he can have some sort of fellowship with them through their worship and sacrifice that they offer to him. But still, it's not a close, face-to-face, one-to-one fellowship that he was longing for. Except sometimes with some selected people like Moses and others, that he may choose to reveal himself to them and be able to talk to them like a friend. Jesus here said to the disciple, let not your heart be troubled. Surely their heart was very troubled. Because right until this time, for 3.5 years, they had been following the Lord Jesus. They had been following him everywhere and saw the miracles he did, saw the wonderful words he preached. And suddenly, now they got the news that Jesus is going to pass, is going to leave them. Their heart was also troubled because there was so much pride and competition among them. They were talking about who will be the greatest in the kingdom of God, who will be standing on the right hand of the Lord Jesus, and so forth. Jesus told them about their betrayal. Some of them will betray him. Some of them will be denying him. So their heart was very troubled. But Jesus said to them, do not be troubled. because I'm going to prepare a place for you. None of us can enter heaven by our own effort. None of us can enter by our own works. Even the disciples who followed the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years, they could not go there by themselves. That's why Jesus said, I must go and prepare a place for you. Now, just think about it. What did Jesus have to do to prepare a place for the disciples? He has to go away. He has to be taken and he will be crucified on the cross. Then he will be buried. And then he will resurrect and ascended to the Father. This is how he has prepared a place for the disciples, and this is how Jesus has prepared a place for all of us who put our trust in him. That is the only way. That's why when Thomas asked him, how do we know the way? And Jesus replied to him that, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. You want a place in my Father's house? I am the way. You want to go to a place where there's no sin, a place of safety, a place of glorious beauty? I am the way, Jesus said. There's no other way, and only him can prepare. Because if there is any sin found in us, none of us will qualify to go before God. Jesus has to do the cleansing work to cleanse us from all of our sins before we are able to approach God. Because no one can see God if there is any sin in him. There will be a certain death. And none of us can come before God if there was any sin found in us. So Jesus must go and prepare a place for us. He must go and die for our behalf. We were all just destined to die and to face judgment. Jesus went ahead of us to face that judgment on the cross. On the cross, God judged all of our sins on Jesus. He was sinless, yet he took your sins and my sins on himself, and he was even shunned by God. The whole earth was covered with darkness, and God's presence left him. That's when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But in that judgment, Jesus bore for us. He bore on our behalf. So each of us do not have to face the same judgment of sin anymore, because Jesus has faced it and took it upon himself on our behalf. Micah chapter 7 verse 19 said, because of what Jesus did, God will have compassion on us, he will subdue our iniquities, and he will cast all of our sins into the depths of the seas. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. That is the good news. Because of what Jesus did, God can cast our sins into the sea. And as far as the east is from the west, our sins will be away from us. And that's how we can be accepted into heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that is the only way to get there. The other thing I want to ask is that, do you think that heaven is something that is so distant that we cannot enjoy now? I don't think so. Because Jesus promised us abundant life. And that abundant life is to be enjoyed right now. if we love the Lord Jesus, we should be able to have fellowship with Him, and heaven should not be too far away from us. In fact, we can enjoy the glory of God and enjoy the taste of heaven even at this moment. I want to show you a video which is about 8 minutes long. It's a video that I had shown some of the Sunday school children many years ago. It's of a boy called Garvin Burns. Garvin was a young boy. Since he was born, he had lots of problems with his health. The first 5 years of his life, he was sustained by having steroids. But later on, the steroid causes bleeding to his liver, and they had to stop that treatment. But also because of stopping that treatment at about 5 or 6 years old, his body stopped growing. So at 11 years old, his body was still like a 5-year-old. But Garvin has an incredible testimony because of his love of the Lord, for the Lord Jesus, and of his faith in God. So I'm going to show a short video of him talking about his impending death. It was recorded a few months before he passed away. He knew that he's going to die, but at the same time, he has a faith at where he's going to. Let's watch that video now.
'73. He was handicapped at birth and nearly died as he failed to start breathing. He was later confined to a special baby unit in Kingston Hospital until he was well enough to be taken home. But his health did not improve, and he was later admitted to the Children's Hospital at Great Ormond Street, and there it was diagnosed that he had a very rare and fatal bone marrow disease known as Fanconi's anemia. Towards the end of Garvin's life, he had visited on 3 separate occasions Helen House, a hospice here in Oxford for sick and terminally ill children. On his last visit, he had recorded a television interview with Mother Frances Dominica, the founder of Helen House, in which he talked openly about his illness, fully aware that he was going to die.
I was on steroids for 5 years, for the first 5 years of my life. And, when I was 10 years old, they took me off them because I had a liver hemorrhage. And they found that was the cause of the problem.
And what's your illness called?
Fanconi's anemia. It's something to do... It's a very rare bone marrow disease.
And did Mummy tell you about it?
Yes, she did. And she helped me to get used to my problems and helped me, gave me confidence and... when I was down, and I just went on from there.
When you thought that you were going to die, Garvin, were you frightened?
At first I was very frightened, yes, I must admit. It was a very frightening thing.
How do you feel about it now?
Much better. I feel sort of... almost as if I want to go there, because I believe that there's a life after death.
What do you believe that life is like?
I believe that life to be joyful, happy, no pain, complete suffering over and done with, just complete joy and happiness. And I believe in a Christ, a loving Jesus. And this loving Jesus, who I love, and who I think to be a very special person to me, he's a special friend to me, and he's always got his arms outstretched. I always believe he has his arms outstretched to me whenever I'm in trouble.
Garvin, is making your communion important to you?
Yes, and it was a very joyful experience, my first Holy Communion. And meeting Christ in Holy Communion, I found was a great joy and very sort of mysterious, very peaceful. And it was the only time I could seem to talk to him about my deepest problems. And I have a really good talk to him about it and what I felt, and asked him for his help. And he always answered me back. But my way of praying is just praying with an open heart to him, so that I get the open answer back. Yes, it was a very important time, and my very first time. It was extremely, the most happiest day of my life, I think. That very first day I took it. And his coming to me was very special.
So there's a lot to thank God for.
Yes, I thank God an awful lot for this gift he's given me. I mean, it's very special because it's actually God and man sitting at table sharing the banquet, sharing his gift, his most precious gift, his son, in the Holy Eucharist. And it is a very special gift. And I always try and get down for that gift. And I always thank him for it every day.
What do you think happens to your body when you die?
I will leave it behind. This is only a reflection. This is only something, a sort of tag to say, this is Garvin. This is me.
So that we can recognise you.
Yes. And then the real me, that's when I die, that reflection will be faded, left behind. And the real me, that inner self me, will be out of that reflection and will go up to God. And I always believe that it's just like heaven, explaining that, as God says to you, shut your eyes, and you just go to sleep. And then the next minute you open your eyes and you find you're in a lovely place, just so beautiful that you want to stay there and be with Jesus forever. And all my friends, most of my friends who I knew down on this earth, that I believe have gone to God. And I hope that when my time will come, I shall see them and go up and say hello to whoever I lost. Like, I never saw my Grandma Doherty. And I hope to see her in heaven, and my grandpa, and my aunties, and my Uncle Christy, who I used to know down here very well. And I'll meet all those people back up there.
And how do you think it will be with the people you leave behind? Will you feel very far away from them,
yes,
separate from them or not?
I will. It's very difficult, but I believe that Christ will look after my family, and whatever needs they need, I believe he will provide for them, and I shall always look down on them if I go before them. And I shall always look down on them and always be there. And it's like where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. And I will be there in the midst of my family. They might not see me, but I'll be there watching them, looking after them all the time.
Garvin was from a Catholic background. Some of his theology may not necessarily be right, but we can see, despite that, he has a personal love of the Lord Jesus. He has a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus that you cannot deny. And that is a relationship that many of us should be longing for, be able to know God and be able to enjoy his presence despite all the pain and sufferings that he's going through. Do you know how much pain he was going through each day of his life? And yet he was able to keep that joy that was so undiminishing in his face, and because of his love of the Lord Jesus. I hope I can explain or heaven as well as he did, but I could not. Because Garvin has gone through an experience of suffering, and through their sufferings, he came to know the Lord Jesus in a very personal way. He may have borrowed Jesus' word about when two or three gather together, I'll be in the midst of them. But I believe that it was his heart desire that he'll be with, looking over his family that he has left behind. And do not judge him of his theology on that one. He has a joy and he has a faith. How about you? Will you see him one day in heaven? Will you see God? We can't if we are insisting of living our own way, just like Adam and Eve did when they rejected God. We can't if we felt that we are right in ourselves. We are self-righteous, that we don't believe in God, and we just felt that our way is still the best way. I want to enjoy as much of this world as possible before I die. Some of people think that. In that sense, they are not ready to die yet. Because to die in that state is horrible. But everybody do have to come to that door called death one day. In fact, 105 people every single minute pass away. As we speak, there are people who die and pass away to eternity without knowing God. Our spirit and our soul, they will stay, because God created us according to his own image and his likeness. That spirit and soul that he has given us will stay. But where will it stay? Whether it be heaven or whether it be in hell? Jesus died for us. He died for us so that he can be judged on our behalf. We talked about that just now. Are you willing to accept him, therefore, to be your Savior? Are you willing to accept him to be the one who will take you to his Father's house? Are you willing to take his word that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Except through me, you cannot come before the Father. If you are willing to take his word, you're willing to repent and walk away from your sins, and you're willing to believe in him and truly committed to him, and in the end, you're willing to follow him and to serve him. If that is your desire, yes, I can be certain that you shall be in the place that Garvin described and I have described in the scripture and what the Lord Jesus has described. He said, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. But will you accept his invitation to that place that he has gone before us, and he has already done all he could to prepare for us? If you're willing to, then he is the way. Follow him, believe in him, and serve him. And that's a place called heaven. And that is not yours by your own efforts, but it's all by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for you. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the whole world, and he is the only one who can take you to be with God the Father. Eternally have our fellowship with him restored. What was lost in the Garden of Eden will be restored in heaven. Fellowship was lost in the Garden of Eden. Fellowship will be restored. Creation was cursed after the Garden of Eden incident. Creation will be recreated. God will give us a new heaven and a new earth for us to enjoy. forever in His presence, worshipping Him, glorifying Him, and enjoying the fellowship with the Lord Jesus and with all the saints, including Garvin. Let's pray. So we do pray that You will open our eyes and open our minds to see what glory there is in this place called heaven. Lord, our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is not in our own good works or efforts. Our confidence is only in You. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way we can enter into heaven, into Your presence and the presence of God, except through You. So, Lord, may You show us the way and help us, Lord, to be obedient to You and be willing to follow You all the way. Lord, there are some here who are still searching for that way. Lord, may You show it to them. May You speak to them through the working of the Holy Spirit, touch their hearts and open their eyes to see that there is truly no other way except You. We thank You for the work that You have done for us. As we are about to partake the cup and the bread now, may You also help us to think about our relationship with You, where it is at the moment, how it is at the moment. Can we enjoy that fellowship with You, that banquet between God and man with great joy? Lord, may You help us. I pray in Your most precious name. Amen.